Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Comadres y Comics. This is episode 40, and we are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Hello, ladies.
I can't believe it's 40.
Welcome back. Wow. We're 40. Flirty and thriving.
I hope that's how my future is.
You know it. So we're hitting it hard here, recording at our the studio here in Burbank. But, you know, I got to say, like, a typical LA thing that I, you know, I don't come across very often, but they shut down the street because Quentin Tarantino is filming his new movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, I looked up the information when we were trying to get here of why it was shut down, because it was shut down for a pretty far
distance.
A distance, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was a Los Angeles Times article about it that a half-mile stretch of Burbank Boulevard was scheduled, or is scheduled, to be closed today for 13 hours while he is filming his movie. It's going to be closed from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., and he is filming Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
In Burbank.
Oh, I love movie magic. Yeah. Because sometimes you see like a chase scene and it starts in Long Beach and all of a sudden they're at that bridge in LA and you're like, no way. There's so much traffic. There's no way.
That bridge is in every single Los Angeles-based TV and film. And it's funny. I used to get so annoyed. Yeah. I'm a huge reality TV nerd. Yes. And so whenever I would watch American Idol and they would say, you're going to Hollywood. I'm like, dude, they're going to Pasadena.
Yeah. And it's just, I just find it funny just how jaded we are. And it's just because, and just being like in Los Angeles native and everything. Like when, like people, we had talked about this earlier about how like most people get said like, oh, they're shooting a movie, blah, blah, blah. I get indescribably mad.
Yeah.
Like I get pissed off because what I'm concerned about is that they've blocked off the bus routes that I need to take, and they don't even put any sign saying like, oh, this is where it's been moved to. And I'm just like, look, I know you're working and I know your job must be hard, but if you don't tell me where this bus is right now, we'll be fighting. And it's just and so like when I saw the stretch in Burbank and then Kristen said it was Quentin Tarantino, I wasn't like, oh my God, Quentin Tarantino. I was just like, fucking Quentin Tarantino blocking off the fucking streets. I was just like, who the fuck does he think he is? He thinks he's Quentin Tarantino. He's Quentin Tarantino, but I'm still mad.
Right. I actually saw Quentin Tarantino when they were filming Jackie Brown at the Del Amo Mall.
I was just going to say, he, I believe, is from the South Bay.
Yes, he is.
Because he filmed a lot of his films in Torrance. Mm-hmm. The scene in Pulp Fiction where they
the
do
restaurant.
The restaurant. Yes.
It's right off of
PCH, isn't it?
No, I thought it was Hawthorne Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
But they closed it.
It's closed now, yes.
But they they actually reopened it and tried to play off that whole Pulp Fiction fame. But that was years ago when Pulp Fiction. But it didn't take off, and so they closed it again.
And also, in my neighborhood in Old Town Torrance, there used to be a theater that was mostly known for porn. This was way back in the day.
I was looking at her like, what theater? Oh,
no, porn. It's gone now.
Yeah. Hey, don't you know what the Valley is known for?
No, this is in South Bay.
South Bay,
this is in Torrance. And Quentin used to work there.
What?
Yeah. That's some little pop trivia that Eddie told me about that.
And
so
it's just like when straight out of Compton, when they were recording it, they actually shot in South Central and like all the areas that were right there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so when I saw Straight Out of Compton, I was just like, oh hey, I know all these places. And I thought it was nice that they actually
filmed at the
places that are, some of them still open, and still recording and stuff like that.
There's piggybacking on that, there was a studio, or there is a studio, in Torrance, in the Del Amo area, and I know this because, of course, it was in the movie, but one of my friends, he said, you know that Aladdin's Castle in Del Amo where you used to play video games? He was there with his friends playing video games, and he was coming out, he saw Ice Cube.
Oh, really?
Yeah, years ago when he was super young.
Yeah.
He saw... It must have been that they were recording in the area and they went to Del Amo Mall.
Well, the Del Amo Mall was one of the biggest malls in Southern California and was the mall to go to way back in the day.
Oh, yes.
And it's been in a lot of films, and my favorite being Valley Girl.
Valley Girl was filmed in Del Amo? Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Yep. I got to go watch that movie. Mm-hmm. Valley Girl.
Yeah. And so I always find it funny, like, in, like, reality TV or, like, in, like, regular TV shows, they're like, it takes place in Los Angeles, and then they get a street wrong. And I'm just like, yeah, that's not L.A. I know you're in Georgia. It's just like you don't have nearly enough high rise buildings to pull this off.
You know what really surprised me? I watched Dexter the whole
to the bitter end.
To the bitter end.
Yeah, so did I,
and loved it. But I just like a few years ago found out that they filmed the whole thing in Long Beach, Bixby Knowles. Like it was supposed to be in Florida. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he and his sister, who were married for a brief time.
Yes. Ooh, that sounded bad, but yes.
the actress who played his sister. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Shopped in we didn't see them, but on their website there is an antique store that was right across the street from the apartment we used to live in, and they were frequent shoppers of that particular antique store.
Yep. Anyway, let's get right into it, guys. What about chisme de la semana? I got some chisme.
Okay.
This is Sarah, and I got some really quick chisme. Well, do you guys remember that the girls here were like, I can't believe you've never watched Bob's Burgers?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I binged the entire thing. I watched all 8 seasons. Yay for me.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
I binge watched it. I love it.
Okay. I mean, you could have just binge watched it and not liked it in the end.
What? 8 seasons?
Yeah.
No. I loved it. It was great. I love Louise.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I thought her sister was autistic. Tina?
Mm-hmm.
But because at the first episode, Louise describes her, this is my older autistic sister. And the way she behaved, I thought she was, but then
honestly,
she wasn't.
I don't remember that.
it stuck in my head only because I have an autistic brother. But and now let me tell you guys, every time something bad happens, like I sprain my wrist or I stub my toe, I go, that's my thing now. Like I'm like such a Tina.
Eddie's favorite character is definitely Jean. Mine, Louise I had an affinity for her early on, but over time I started getting an appreciation for Tina.
Yeah, I love my Tina. I love them all.
Yeah.
I like the dad, I like the mom, even though I the reason I never watched it was because of the animation. I wasn't too fond of it. Mm-hmm. But then I grew to love that, and then I didn't like the mom's accent.
Oh.
And she's so over the top. It's like, oh my God.
And but that's kind of the thing.
Now I love her.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I love everybody. I like Teddy. I like Mort. I like Fish Order. And it's like, I just binged 8 seasons of it. It's
Funny thing is, the reason I started watching that show, I watched it from episode 1. Because when it first came out, they started it's Fox, right? They started doing commercials and Bob's Burgers and whatever. And just visually looking at it, I thought the family was Latino. And so
I did too.
And so I was like, and it's a family who owns a small burger joint. Like, I guess it could have been a taco place if it was really Latino. But anyway, that's what I thought it was. And so I was so excited about it. And I watched it because of that reason. But obviously continued watching it because it's just so freaking good.
Mm-hmm. I like how everybody refers to the dad. I was like, yeah, you're ethnic or something like that, or and he's like, what, I'm American. Yeah. And it's so funny because he never ever tells you what his background is. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love that. Anyway, that's my chisme, guys.
Well, banging off of that, New York Comic Con just happened.
Oh my God, I saw so many exclusives.
I have a friend who's going, and I'm very jealous because now she lives in New York, and she's like, I think she lives in the Bronx. They moved to the Bronx. But she's going, and I was just like, oh, you're so lucky.
I've always wanted to go, only because I've only been to New York once, and I really love the city a lot. If only it didn't snow and be so freaking hot during the summer, I'd love to live there. Because I love the city vibe there. It's so different than Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to go to New York Comic Con, so that's on my bucket list.
Yeah, and so, which was moving, because when I told her, she's like, oh, yeah, she's like, it's good. She's like, I'm pretty sure how you feel is how I wish about L.A. and going to San Diego Comic Con. I was just like, you're right. But anyways, all this to say is that Young Avengers is coming back in 2019. We don't have a date. We don't have a creative team announced, but Young Avengers is coming back, and I love Young Avengers. It was Captain Marvel and Young Avengers is what brought me back into comic books. It's the series that I went to go buy, and they had just announced it, so I did the thing where I went and was like, do you guys have this comic?
Oh yeah.
And like, and they're like, oh no, they just announced it, so it's not even solicited yet. Come back in a couple months and they'll be out. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And I did. So I'm really, really, really glad, because the original 2005 run was really, really good. And it won a GLAAD award for its series. And then they relaunched it again in 2013 with Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey, when it was amazing, too. And that reintroduced America Chavez, because America Chavez existed, but she had been like a kind of like a one-shot character.
That's the one we reviewed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one that we reviewed. Yes. But this time she was more of a fleshed out character, definitely a lot cooler, and she was just awesome. And so that was in 2013, and then the series ended like a year or two later, because I believe it was only not 12, but I think 24 issues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ended, and now they're bringing it back again.
Nice.
So I'm super, super excited for it. And
do we know who the characters are going to be?
They have not. It's literally like they have not said anything at all.
Just
that it's...
Wait for it.
They're just like, wait for it. They're just like, it's going to be coming back.
Okay.
Which, because it did good in sales. Mm-hmm. It was a very popular seller. And it won some awards. So... I'm surprised that it had ended, but I'm glad that they're bringing it back. I'm just wondering who the creative team is going to be. And that should be interesting.
If you're interested in hearing our review on the Kieran Gillen trade paperback volume 1, that was episode 13.
Really, that long ago?
Yes.
Nice.
Cool.
But going off of that, too... some other chisme that we just got is that Kelly Sue DeConnick is taking over the Aquaman title. And, oh my God. It's and it's available for pre-order now. And it is, she's going to be taking over an Aquaman issue number 43. And it's going to be drawn by Robinson Rocha and Daniel Enriquez. So it comes out in December. December 19th. And I really love how they pitched it in previews.
Yes.
And it says, here's how it goes. The tides turn for the Sea King with a new creative team. Star scribe Kelly Sue DeConnick from Captain Marvel and Pretty Deadly and red hot artist Robinson Rocha take the rudder to steer Aquaman into uncharted waters. In the wake of drowned Earth, an amnesiac Arthur washes ashore on a remote island and ends up being cared for by a young woman named Callie, who's just a little too curious for comfort. And as Lifetime of Horror Movies has taught us, there's something strange going on in this island village. Aquaman needs to come to his senses quickly, or he might wind up sleeping with the fishes instead of chatting with them.
That's a great description. I'm intrigued.
Immediately sold. Like, not only is Kelly Sue writing this,
yes.
And like, I feel like I should have known this. Like, she would have announced it on Twitter or something. But oh my God, like, this is so funny.
I mean, I am super interested. As you all know, Aquaman is my boyfriend. And I read the first, I would say, trade of Rebirth Aquaman. And I actually enjoyed it. I just couldn't keep up with all the DC titles. A lot of them were bi-weekly in the beginning. Some of them were like, were they weekly? I don't know. I just remember having a big old pile and I just couldn't keep up. But I really enjoyed Aquaman. And then when Mera came out, I really enjoyed that as well. But for Kelly Sue to take on this character, I feel like she's going to bring something. I don't want to say legitimacy because obviously he's legit. But like, I want, not that I want, I know she is going to bring something to the stories and his character that's really going to be amazing and hopefully we haven't seen with an Aquaman story ever.
Sounds good, guys. Okay, guys, what time is it, Kristen?
It's beer time.
Yay, it's beer time.
So you know that Monkish is one of not only mine, but apparently Sarah's favorite breweries because we have a lot of Monkish beers on this show, which I'm not complaining. And we are trying an American Imperial IPA today by Monkish. And it is an, ooh, I just passed one by and I smell pineapple. It smells really good.
Yes.
It is an ABV of 8.5. Like and this is a rotating handle at the brewery, and it is called Relax Your Mind.
Ooh. Now, I think this is a throwback to that Total Recall movie. Where they're talking, Quanto. You guys, I know I'm saying this wrong. Please do not email me angry emails. That
Total
I
Recall, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the mutant that lives on the belly. Spoiler alert.
I am very positive that many people have already seen Total Recall.
And especially when
I was traumatized by the opening scene where he gets put into space and his face explodes.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, my gosh. As a kid, yes, I was traumatized.
Yeah, totally. I get that.
Now,
that happens to me when I go to space.
I've seen it, not recently, but as an adult, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is so cheesy.
Yeah. I know.
And I mean, now has the scientific inaccuracy. Most places, your head won't explode. You know, you'll just die. I mean, the end result is the same, but, you know, it won't be that grisly.
Right, right. Well, it's the mutant guy who's leading the rebellion, and he's holding on to Arnold Schwarzenegger's hands, and he's saying, open your mind. And it's so cool because, like, it's a puppet. So, like, you see the little mouth open, like, open your mind.
I really was wondering where this was going, but I'm super fascinated and impressed by how you made that go full circle.
Total Recall just reminds me, like, apparently the Venom movie is supposed to be, like, a 90s throwback, a 90s what? Superhero
okay.
movie throwback.
Yes, everyone who saw Venom is like, I didn't want to see this. I only went to hate watch it, but it was the best.
Are you serious?
The best 90s superhero film I ever saw.
I am shocked.
It's apparently so bad, it's good.
Yeah.
What?
Like, look, I will 100% tell you that I love the Spawn movie. And not because it's good, because it's fucking terrible. It's oh my God, it's a nightmare fest and I adore it. You don't know what's going on. I was young when I watched it, and then it was on Netflix. I think it still is on
it?
Netflix. Yeah, a lot of all the old terrible Marvel
last
movies.
Last night I saw Blade 2.
Oh, I love Blade.
Okay, look, Blade is good. Blade and Blade 2 are amazing, and I personally think Blade 2 is better, and people can fight me on that.
Okay. But I'm just talking about the fight sequences. I'm like, whoa, this is so bad. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm, but
CGI, though.
Oh yeah, it's all bad. Like I saw Blade, and I was just like the effects and all that stuff. But even with like even if you added like today's effects, it would still be a good movie. Mm-hmm. Like story wise and pacing and even like maybe the action scenes aren't up to par now, mm-hmm. but like still like Blade 2 is objectively a good movie.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes really hit that out of the park. I thought, man, he's. Really
Do you
good.
Know that one time? I swear Wesley Snipes called the shop.
No way.
Because you know his voice is super identifiable. Yeah. And I'm a huge Blade fan. And I answered the phone and he's talking. I'm like, oh my God, this sounds like Wesley Snipes. And you know what he asked for? He asked if we had Tomb of Dracula, whatever it is that is the first appearance of Blade.
Yes.
What? Yeah. And I wanted so bad to ask, is this Wesley Snipes? But I never did because I was trying to be professional. But I tell everybody Wesley Snipes on the show.
Wesley Snipes, if you're hearing this, hit us up.
This is a very...
entertaining beer segment.
Very, very long segue. Yes. Back to the beer that I just took a sip of, and it's really good.
I really like it.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but because you guys did not like the last beer, I thought, let's take it back. Let's bring it back to Monkish.
Let's take it old school.
Let's bring it back to the old school. This was also a limited can release I stood in line for. But go ahead and describe it, Kristen.
It's a limited can release, but on the description that I have, it also says that it's rotating. So I'm assuming that means that it comes out more than once.
Yeah, definitely, okay. Yeah. But it's, so maybe that was wrong. Not limited can release, it was a can release.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So if you want to have it when it's not on tap, you're able to
get the can. Yeah, so it's an American Imperial IPA. It's an 8.5, and it's a double IPA. Ooh, double IPA brewed with Galaxy, Nelson, and Simcoe hops. So that is...
I think Galaxy hops has been really consistently good.
Yeah, it's very, very fruity as far as beer fruit goes. I mean, you're not going to drink it and it tastes like apple juice, but I taste the pineapple in it. That's like the biggest note for me is pineapple, mm-hmm. and I really like it a lot.
I like pineapple too, and it's got a very nice aftertaste, mm-hmm. that's very faint, but it lingers, mm-hmm. and it covers the tongue really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. Definitely. I very much like it.
I give it a rigid.
I'm gonna second that. It's one of those dangerous beers again, mm-hmm. where you do not.
I mean, 8.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous.
It's really smooth and kind of coats the tongue with the flavors, aftertaste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Initially, it's it doesn't hit you when you drink it. Like you don't feel that it's a 8.7. Yeah. Where was it?
It doesn't taste like a double IPA.
8.5. Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It does not taste like a double IPA. I would have thought this was just a regular IPA. So you know what? I was going to give it a full, but I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going to give it a rigid.
Rigid, yeah.
So that is a 5-5 from everybody today.
Yeah. Yeah, really knocked it out of the park. I'm loving this. All right, well, that's our beer review, guys.
You vindicated yourself, Sarah.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, guys, it's time for our book review. And what are we reviewing today?
Today, we have a book called Scoop, Volume 1. And Sarah... It's written by Richard Hamilton, and the artist is Joseph Cooper. And it says colors by Peter Pantazis and Alba Cordona. And Sarah, this book came to us through Twitter. Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. And you've been kind of talking back and forth, because just one day it magically appeared in the shop. So, and that was of no doing of my own. So I'm assuming that you set that all up.
Yes, we were told that this, the main character is a female Cubana, mm-hmm. and I was like immediately interested because she's, he describes her as very intelligent, smart, sassy, hardworking, and so I was like, let's give that a go. Mm-hmm. So he was kind enough to give us a complimentary copy, mm-hmm. of the comic book, And so here we are reviewing it today.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Sophia Cooper, Sophie, she goes by Sophie, but when her mom yells at her, she calls her Sophia. Sophia del Carmen Cooper.
Yeah. I was like, you forgot the del Carmen.
She's 14 years old. So our protagonist is a 14-year-old Cuban-American girl who, yes, definitely super sassy, super smart. And I love it when it's a teen girl that has like the main role in moving the story forward.
Yeah, and I think he particularly made a reference in the back of the book that says as to he wanted her to be a redhead fair skin because that's challenging enough as a Latino,
yeah,
I believe.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was cool.
A white like, passing Latino.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was cool. But I got to be honest, I was really reluctant to read it because she's a teen. Because I don't know why, but I like you know, I'm not into the teen thing.
Oh, okay.
But once I started reading it, I couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, this is so cool, and I really love her little brother.
Do we Kit. Know if any of the creators themselves are have I a didn't, Latinx background?
I didn't go into that. I didn't research them. Oh, sorry. But if you are Latino, please let us know.
I mean, more curiosity to say than anything, just the fact that the characters and that they include it.
Yeah.
That it's like it's not brushed off like in... Because we've talked about this before, about Latinidad and stuff like that. And this has just enough hint of it for me to be like, okay, this is good. Even though I think there could have been some aspects that were done a little better, I did like the dynamic enough that it felt real to me.
Yeah,
that I was just like, okay, yeah, this is really good. But going off of that, I was surprised by how much I really, really liked this book.
Yes, I really liked it as well, but I didn't expect to.
Yeah, same.
When he dropped it off and he handed it to me, I was like, oh man, Sarah, what'd you get us into?
Yeah, I was just like, Sarah, when I saw the cover.
Yes, just by the cover alone, I didn't flip through it. I just looked at the cover. I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
No, and like I said, I as well felt the same way. Like, I actually read the digital copy that he initially gave us, and it had watermarks.
Oh,
so I was But honestly, the story was so good that I forgot about the watermarks. Initially, although the cover is pretty awesome because it kind of deals with a little bit of the aspects throughout the story.
And after reading the story, I appreciate the cover.
Exactly.
Now I do. Now I really, really like the cover after reading the entire book.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of hesitancy
when I initially got it.
I was just like... this like are the creators Latino?
What's going on here?
And then I read it and I was just all like, oh, okay,
yeah,
I can see why we picked it up. But going off of that, Scoop is about this young teenage girl whose family is being scrutinized by the media, and it's negatively affecting her life, and instead of lashing out and stuff like that, she decides that she's going to be interning at a news, at basically a news media outlet.
Yeah.
And once I read that and I understood it, I was just like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see how they operate and kind of like understand and everything. And her own, when her own intelligence and like kind of like news reporting skills starts to develop and stuff like that, I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah. So Sophia del Carmen is actually on a mission to clear her father's name. He was involved in this scandal, in this big bank scandal, or savings and loan, or something scandal.
Mm-hmm. Like an embezzlement.
Yes.
Yeah, an embezzlement kind of thing.
And so she is on a mission to try to find out as much information as possible to try to help clear her father and, by proxy, her family's name. So that was super cool and interesting to me. And to be honest, as I was reading it, I didn't realize how young she was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It wasn't till I maybe read the back, or I don't know where I got the information that she was 14, but she doesn't read like a 14.
Yeah,
year
I thought
old.
She was like 17.
Yeah,
like
she seemed much
or
older.
17. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is it takes place in Florida. So yeah. I've been to Orlando, so I kind of could see that in the artwork. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cool how they captured the whole Orlando, Florida feel. Mm-hmm. It's not Orlando where this takes place, but it's in Florida. So I thought it was really cool.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think I was. Was I aware about it being in Florida? I don't remember.
I don't recall either. But I knew that it took place in some sort of. I thought it was East Coast. Well, Florida.
Well, yeah,
East Coast. I mean, or like Gulf of Mexico or whatever. Yeah. Basically, that's what I thought. I thought it took place. So, but if she's Cubana, then that makes more sense.
Yeah,
Florida.
Yeah.
not to lend to stereotypes.
We are amazing. What do you call it? geography experts here on this podcast.
Truly lending the cred to Californians don't know geography at all.
Well, I'm gonna go right into it. Sophia, she's really highly intelligent. She mm-hmm. is trying to clear the dad's name, and I think she actually takes the internship because she punches a girl because she's getting bullied
yes.
at school.
Yes.
There's a lot of bullying going on because of the stuff that's happening with
yes.
her dad. So she basically only is down to one friend mm-hmm. who I think has a crush on her.
Mm.
He's mm-hmm. constantly trying to get her to be in his projects and she's like, no. Mm-hmm. But I think she's really great. I also love the kind of love interest she runs into.
Yeah.
His name is Uznavi.
Yes. So that's the reason
uh-huh.
I thought she was older. Because he seemed older, and I'm just like, okay, there's like barely into high school interns running around in the news. For her internship, it made sense uh-huh. because it was a slowly or a rapidly decaying news station mm-hmm. that couldn't afford a quote unquote real people to.
They still have beta tapes.
Yeah, like, yeah, they yeah. were. She was having to go through and do going through and like with piles of beta tapes and like sorting them and stuff, but mm-hmm. he was an intern. Uznavi was an intern for the police,
mm-hmm. the criminal investigation unit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what made me think she was older, because there was at some point here where she actually gives him a kiss on the cheek, and mm-hmm. he was like all giddy about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we never get confirmed, but I thought like he was her age too.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I was thinking about it, and I'm just like. Like, there are, like, internships for kids. Like,
yeah.
the LAPD has a thing for, mm-hmm. like, high
Explorer
school students and stuff
program.
Like that. Yeah, Explorer programs and stuff like that. And I'm now thinking, like, other places should have that, too. And
yeah.
I don't know how they go about it. But it was really cute. And there was a particular scene in there where she makes a mistake. And he believes that he's... that she's using him
yeah.
just for
mm-hmm.
like info, and she goes to clear it up.
Yeah.
And she has her little brother with him, and then he like she apologizes, he accepts her apology and everything. But he like touches her arm, and then her little brother like turns around. He's just like,
yeah.
"Watch out, Rico Suave. That's my sister you're touching."
That was so cool.
Yeah.
But I think mm-hmm. particularly it's super funny, like the story behind his name, Uznavi.
Uznavi, yes. Mm-hmm.
Because he said that his grandmother named him because she would see the ships that said U.S. Navy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So in Spanish, you pronounce it Uznavi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was awesome. I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
I'm like, that makes sense. I saw a movie called Maidenusa. Made in USA. Yeah. So it was like this girl was named Madenusa.
Madenusa. That's funny.
But it's made in USA. Uh-huh. And she, one time she was like making out with this one guy. And she's like, I saw my name on the the tag on your shirt. Yeah. It's like, okay.
but that was really funny. And one of the little aspects that I appreciated is that how their mom would talk to them in Spanish.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And they would respond either in English or sporadically, like in Spanish and stuff like that. And I thought that, like, that's how I talk to my mom.
Yes.
That's literally, or how my mom talks to me. Yeah. Like, she talks to me in Spanish and I respond either back in Spanish or in English or an amalgamation of both.
Both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I was just like, most of the time I'm just like, yeah, like, yes, ma, or like, see, mom.
Yeah.
And so I really like those little, like, those little tidbits, because she is a white passing, because she's a fair skinned redhead, but there's those little aspects of Latinidad that are pretty flawless. I really like. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't force fed, and it wasn't just put in there for Latinidad purposes. I thought it really flowed well with the whole story.
With the story.
My favorite part was when the brother, who is also a genius, and he's like a tech nerd.
Yes, he's a tech nerd.
And he, like, there's a scene where, which is not the favorite part I'm talking about, but there's a scene where she comes home and he's speaking to her in German.
Yeah.
Because he's learning German all of a sudden.
Yeah.
The dad's on house arrest, and the mom is the main breadwinner right now. She works for the mayor, who is also Latino. Mm-hmm. So my favorite part was the brother taps their parents' bedroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she's going off in Spanish, because you know when you get mad, you just start cursing and going off in Spanish. Uh-huh. And the dad's just kind of just taking it. And then, like, she's like, oh, I don't feel right about this. Doesn't feel right. I know about listening to her parents. But the conversation, she's like, I can't believe it. Like, I'm doing all this. I'm working and you can't even take out the trash.
Yeah.
It's like, that's exactly how I felt in my relationship sometimes. Like, I come home and he's like lying there on the couch. I'm like, did you take out the trash? Like, no. Like, oh my God, I just want to strangle you. But yeah, I felt what she was feeling when she was cursing at him.
No,
but yeah.
The reason I like that scene, though, is because she was yelling in Spanish and he understood.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I thought that was like, in some way, like, even when he's mad, like, that was kind of sweet.
Yeah.
And that's how you, like, add aspects to a relationship without really touching upon them, in that you can tell, like, these people kind of, like, they love each other enough that he understands her.
Yeah.
And that he made that effort to understand her when she speaks in Spanish. And I thought that was really cute. Even while she was angry and yelling at him.
And I love the, like, the end panel where they make reference to that panel. Mm-hmm. So there's a hashtag at the end. I'm not going to spoil it, but I found it totally hilarious. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it made reference to that panel, which is my favorite. But in a sense, it's kind of like a okay, so it's like a crime-solving, teenage, mystery, supernatural, science-y stuff.
I was going to say, so then there's also definitely some supernatural aspects. Supernatural/science-y, aspects to it. There's some time travel stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a swamp monster thrown in for a good measure.
Gator man.
Yeah. So one of my favorite parts, which actually happened throughout the book, was the team up between Sophie and Hal Ritz, the news guy.
Newscaster.
He was such an amazing character.
He looks just a little bit like Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they were going for.
But I think that's what they were going for, too.
He's kind of a slime ball, but at the same time, with the heart of gold. Yeah. I don't know how to describe him.
He's very much a news caster. And, like, he's going for the story. Yeah. He's, like, he's just like, oh, I want this. I want to be the first person to crack. Yes. Uh-huh. To, like, report this and stuff like that. He's kind of ruthless. Mm-hmm. But he basically takes her under his wing.
Yes, he takes her.
Exactly. He's just like, you got talent, kid. And I like that. And I'm going to teach you my ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then there's rules to it, too, which I thought was awesome.
Uh-huh. And so it was just like, at first you think he's going to be kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he's actually he was surprisingly sweet. And I like that.
Yeah. I loved it. I love that relationship. That was really cool. There was another aspect I wanted to point out. The Hall & Oates references throughout the book.
Throughout
I loved
book.
It. I was like, yes. I'm like, do you need permission for that? I don't know, but I loved it.
Yeah.
I totally loved it.
Yeah, that was funny. That there was a scene where something happened, and I can't remember what exactly it was, but she just is like, huh, guess he can't go for that. No can do.
Just can't go for that. Can't go for that.
Yeah, that was funny. That really made me laugh. And one of my other favorite parts was actually the big chase scene where she is trying to get away from the bad, quote unquote, the bad guys.
Yes.
And she, that's where she runs into the Gator Man. She's on an airboat. She's like just all kinds of cool stuff. And there was not a lot of dialogue in those ones, but the action portrayed was awesome.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because there is dialogue, but there's nothing to read. Let me describe this. So they're on airboats, and you know those things are loud as heck.
Yeah.
So there are these air bubbles, and the way they're drawn, they're so like descriptive, like they're yelling and they're cursing at each other. And I love that, because you see that in the facial expressions and the bubble shape.
Oh.
And then at the end you see her like giving him the finger, but you don't see the finger because there's a bird that flies and covers the finger. So I really found that panel to be like super cool, like really kind of using just the art and the paneling to describe what's happening in the story without any words. And I thought that was bloody brilliant.
I feel like it takes so much more like artistic talent to be able to tell a story in just pictures when you don't have that dialogue to work with. So that, honestly, that chase scene really was one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. And I love the mixture of genres this thing is, and how well they work.
Okay, yes. It could have been a freaking trash fire, honestly.
Yeah, like,
because there's a lot of stuff thrown in.
There's just like, it's like a million loose threads. Mm-hmm. It could have been a million loose threads, but no, instead it is very,
resolved.
Not only resolved, but tied in neatly to each other. So instead of it being just like a giant trash fire hot mess, it's surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And
now
like it's a YA adventure, it's a crime drama, it's kind of like a news a news feature as well. It's a bit of
a gumshoe story
It's like an underdog story as well, and it's a bit of like it's so good.
Yeah.
And so it's this mixture of elements that I don't think would have worked well in other areas, but it 100% worked here.
But I don't know if you guys even we touched on it, like the diversity in characters. I mean, you have that fellow Bobby who we lost in on the road, and then the sheriff or a deputy that was investigating the scene.
Oh, the Native American.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was cool. They were both Native American. We have the Latino Cuban aspect. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing. I thought, and then Crazy Eyes guy. Oh God, he turns out to be a scientist. I'm like, what?
Yeah, like, and he looks like. He looks like Samuel L. Jackson.
He does.
And I don't know. Maybe it's because I just went to the movies and I saw the Glass trailer and all that
stuff.
Oh,
yes.
But it very much reminded me of that.
Yes, you're right.
And so I was just like, it kind of had like an Unbreakable thing going on for it, too.
That's funny. But,
and so it was
And not
really
to
good.
Mention the gay couple.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The designer and and the guy he pretty much rescued, which turns out to be his partner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, there's so much going on, and it was awesome. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So any final thoughts are ready to review?
Well, thank you, Sarah, for forcing us to read this book.
I really, really like it. And it's just how intersectional it is in all aspects, from genre to characters to story and plot, and even like the writing and style, like how you said, like it goes from dialogue heavy to like action, like no word action, just pure action, and how seamless it is. It's this crossover of different styles of writing and genre and characters, and it works. They did a great job.
Is there any information about any further
I believe books, there's going to be other books coming out.
In the end, they said, like, get ready for book two and stuff that. Because this is a graphic novel.
Right.
Yeah. This, yeah, I feel like we skipped over that, but I kind of went with it. But this is a graphic novel, and it's kind of a magazine size as well.
It's very big sized.
Yeah, it's right. And usually I kind of don't like the magazine sized ones either, but I like this one.
Yeah.
And it's really good. But, like, Do you know where exactly we can order it from?
Yeah. You can go to insightcomics.com.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I actually just started following them on Instagram too. So
cool. Oh, they have an Instagram as well.
See what other stuff they come up with, because this is really amazing.
Oh, and they obviously have a Twitter, since that's where they reached us.
Yeah.
So I will make sure to hunt them down and just be like, okay, I'll follow them and see if we can get our hands on book two, or if I can get my hands on book
for
two,
sure,
because I definitely want to read it.
So what's your rating for book one, Jen?
So for my rating for book one is going to be 3 conchas, because I liked it.
Yes.
I very much liked it. I think they did a great job, and they definitely fit the scope of our podcast.
Absolutely. Just a reminder for those of you who may not know, our rating is a rating of 1 to 3 conchas. 3 conchas being the best rating ever, because Jen said that's the most conchas her mom ever let her have. So I also am going with 3 conchas. I love the book. I love the characters. I am a sucker for teen mystery, like Nancy Drew, Hardy Boy, Gumshoe, and Encyclopedia Brown type stuff, and this definitely took me on a journey, and the payoff was great. So I'm giving it 3 conchas.
Yes, I am also giving it 3 conchas. I loved it, loved the heck out of it, and like I said, I really love the fact that even though I was kind of reluctant to start reading it, once I was into it, I was so drawn in, and I love that. I love when a book does that to me, where I kind of forget everything around me and just get really into it. Impressive on that whole scene where there was no dialogue. So impressive how they pulled that off. The artwork was really well drawn as well.
Yeah,
we didn't touch on that, but it was really good. The characters all have their personalities that I love. So I loved it. So 3 conchas all around, guys.
Yep.
And now it's time for On My Radar. And On My Radar is now available is the Magic Glasses issue number 2.
Yay!
And I got to thank Kristen for this, because she actually gifted that to me. And I loved it. I finally sat down and read it, and I was like, yes. She finally gets her glasses. That's all I'm going to say. But I love it already. I'm just like, I can't wait to issue number 3. And also, she is going to put it out in Spanish as well. So look out for that.
Yes. This is Kristen. I have something on my radar as well. Chelsea Kane came out with a new Image title called Man Eaters. And you might all remember Chelsea Kane from the infamous Ask Me About My Feminist Agenda cover of her Mockingbird ongoing in Marvel. And what a crazy storm, Twitter storm that created.
Yeah, she quit Twitter over that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she is an Eisner nominated and New York Times bestselling writer, and she is returning to comics with this new ongoing series called Man Eaters. A mutation in toxoplasmosis causes menstruating women to turn into ferocious killer wildcats, easily provoked and extremely dangerous. As panic spreads and paranoia takes root, the fate of the world rides on the shoulders of one 12-year-old girl. Part cat people, part Handmaid's Tale, Man Eaters will have everyone talking. So this is from the creative team behind Eisner-nominated series Mockingbird, writer Chelsea Kane, artist Kate Nim, I can't say her last name, I can't pronounce it. Sorry about that, Kate. And colorist Rochelle Rosenberg, letterer Joe Caramagna. There's just a whole bunch of buzz around this book. I did read the first issue, and it's really good, and I'm really excited to read more of it. And I'm in the vein of that Bitch Planet for sure. So pick yourself up Maneaters Volume 1.
I'd like to make a comment on Maneaters. It didn't dawn on me until you started reading the description about the book. Toxoplasmosis is something you get when you have the AIDS virus and you have a cat. So it makes sense.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of people, like people who have the active AIDS virus, when they can't have a cat because they can get toxoplasmosis and die.
I didn't know that.
I just remembered this from Trainspotting. That guy,
interesting.
Yeah, he was using heroin, and then he tried to give a cat to his ex-girlfriend that dumped him, and then she said, keep your cat. So he kept the cat, and then he died. Toxoplasmosis.
she said, keep your cat, and then he died.
And then he died because he kept the cat. Toxoplasmosis. Look it up, guys. I have another on my radar. On my radar is creator-owned Jinx World. It's called Cover Number One. It's by Brian Michael Bendis and David Mack. And I read the first issue, guys. It's freaking amazing. The marriage between the dialogue and the art is amazing. I already have a super amazing... I'm in love with one of the characters, the mysterious Julia. She's a spy. She just comes out and says it. And I feel like she's trying to recruit... there's a main character who actually is a comic book creator, and the comic book opens up and they're at a Comic-Con, and it's, you know, the imagery is amazing, and he's, you know, obviously at Artist Alley and stuff, and she comes up to him and she's a fan of his work, and it's like I'm reading a story about a comic book creator, but it takes like a weird kind of like spy turn, but the artwork is amazing. So I'm not gonna talk too much about the story, but I'm already telling you, I'm in love with Julia. Like, I totally love her. Like, I feel like she's so incredibly sexy and dynamic and smart and sassy, and I love her. So check that out, guys.
That sounds cool.
It's all right. No, it really is amazing. Check it out. And now it's time for Juntos y Fuertes. Kristen, do you have a Juntos y Fuertes for us?
I do, actually. This is a small little comic that came across my Facebook, I think, a while back. And I really wanted to show this creator some support. Her name is Diane Rockwell. And she wrote a small little digital 13-page comic called A Worthy Distortion. And it is, it's about a space engineer, Quinn Slater. She wakes up full of hope and determination every day. She just wants to be able to believe in herself, to be strong enough to get that promotion at work, to be confident enough to go out with her friends, and to be smart enough to write her own story. But always in the mirror staring back at her is the reflection of all her deepest fears and doubts. This distortion version paralyzes and convinces her that she is worthless. It spews negativity and shows her that she can't do the thing she dreams of doing. Every day, Quinn battles with that distorted reflection, and every day she loses, until one day she decides that enough is enough. A Worthy Distortion explores the debilitating effects of self-doubt and what it means to finally see value in yourself.
Yes. I would like to interrupt you on that. Just listening to you again describe that book or the web series. That's actually an actual illness that Maya Angelou suffered, also Albert Einstein.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's an actual thing where you don't feel worthy of your accomplishments. But
imposter syndrome.
Yes, that's yeah. Anyway, continue. I just wanted to let you guys know that it's not something made up. It's something that actually exists, and people do suffer from this.
So she describes it as a comic that she wrote about dealing with low self-esteem and self-doubt. And she says if you want an uplifting story about finding value in yourself, definitely check it out. And so it's $5. It's 13 pages, like I said, and it's digital. And you can find it at gumroad.com. That's gumroad.com/i AWD comic, and I'm assuming the AWD stands for A Worthy Distortion. We will post the link so that it'll be a little bit easier for you to follow, but this just seemed like an amazing topic to talk about in comic form, and the fact that it's easily accessible digitally and it's only $5, and to be able to support this independent creator, this woman who wrote this comic about this issue, I just think is really awesome. So that is my Juntos y Fuertes.
That was really awesome. I feel that this can go on so many levels because you can make it image friendly with the whole mirror thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I'm so excited. I can't wait to read it. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode, guys. Any final thoughts or anything like that?
Bad beer, awesome comics, and all around amazing show.
And don't forget, you can find us on our social media pages on Twitter at Comic Comadres.
Yes, you can find us on Instagram at Comadres y Comics.
We have a Facebook, and you can email us at comadresycomics@gmail.com. And we do check our email. As you know, that's how we came across Scoop. Twitter. And then email.
Yeah, and then email.
Shoot us that crucial DM. please.
Also, we have a Snapchat. I usually like to put on interesting tidbits on comic-related stuff, so check that out, too.
And tell all your friends that they can find us on iTunes, Podomatic,
Stitcher,
and
Spotify.
iTunes.
Okay. That has been our episode. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.